Good afternoon. My name is Don Meyer. I'm Port of Tacoma Commissioner. President, this year we convened the special meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on January 25th, 2018. The time is 12:05. We previously called to order the special meeting today at 10 a.m. and adjourned into executive session where we discussed three potential litigation items and one real estate lease item. No decisions were made and no votes were taken. So there's the official opening remarks that I have. Would you all please stand and join me in the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all so much. Now, it's a fun day. The swearing-in ceremony that we have for three newly elected commissioners. Commissioner Meyer, which I am.
That's you.
That's me. Commissioner Mazzano and Commissioner McCarthy. And we have with us here today Judge Elizabeth Martin. And I want to say a special welcome. It's always nice to have a judge in the audience and a part of this process. And so what I think we'd like to recommend Commissioner Mazzano and McCarthy, that we go down here and then we do the swearing-in ceremony, please.
All right. Gentlemen, are you ready? All right. It is my honor and privilege to administer this oath, and I'm going to ask that each of you raise your right hand. I,
John McCarthy,
Don Meyer,
do solemnly swear,
do solemnly swear,
that I am a citizen of the United States,
that I am a citizen of the United States,
and of the state of Washington,
and of the state of Washington,
that I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States,
and the Constitution and laws of the state of Washington,
and the Constitution and laws of the state of Washington,
and will to the best of my judgment,
and will the best of my judgment,
skill and ability, truly,
faithfully,
diligently,
and impartially,
perform the duties of the office, of Port of Tacoma Commissioner,
in and for Pierce County, Washington,
as such duties are prescribed by law. So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It is my pleasure. Welcome and congratulations to all of you. Now, you want some pictures or you think you got it?
I would like, if you don't mind, I'd like a picture of the other two commissioners with us.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Please.
They don't mind that one.
Yes, could I have the judge also? What I'd also like to do is recognize a very special guest. Oh, by the way, you're all very special guests, but there's a really, really special guest in the audience today. And I consider, and I recognize there's a relationship here, but our state auditor, who is a homegrown Pierce County product, and I can just say, Pat, as our state auditor, reflect, I think, some of the best of our county, and I'm very proud of what you've done. We're all very proud of what you're doing, what you've done, and where you're going. And thank you for being part of that process, and thank you for sharing John with us, okay?
Okay, well, the good news is I'm not here to do or have staff here to do an audit.
Right.
We are committed to clean audits, by the way.
And we'll make sure.
Okay. thank you so much for attending. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Pat.
At this stage, unless you want to make some comments in terms of overall, I plan on going down our consent agenda. Is that okay?
Yep.
With everyone? We have two items on our consent agenda, minutes of the December 20th, 2017, and December 21st, 2017. And the second item is check certification report. Any comments by commissioners?
I'd like to
make a motion.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any comments by commissioners or the public?
Is this a motion on the minutes or on the check certification?
It's on both of them, but we can take them individually if you would like.
Since I wasn't on board when the meeting was held, perhaps I should abstain from the approval of the minutes, if that's appropriate.
Okay, I guess what we should do then is I would hope that we could move the minutes separate. Let's move the minutes separate. That would be
I'll move that we approve the minutes for December 20th.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed?
All abstain.
Abstaining? One abstaining. Very good. The next item we have on our consent agenda is the check certification report. I'd like to hear a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any comments?
Just a comment. I'm trying to familiarize myself, obviously, with a lot of the interests that the port's involved in. So I spent quite a bit of time asking questions of staff regarding the checks that were issued, and I received a lot of responses. And I do appreciate your diligence in responding to the questions that were asked.
Very good. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Now we're on to public comment. As I think we have one person who has signed up, Diane Martin. Please come up and state your name for the record.
My name is Diane Martin. I'm a resident of Tacoma. I have a couple of comments. And as we move forward in the Tide sub-area planning process, I am very hopeful that we can move away from fossil fuel industry, look forward to the goals of the port and this endeavor, both economically, environmentally, and what is good for the community. And I would encourage the commissioners to include the community. I've only lived here for about 6 months, but what I see is a great pool of talent within the community. I look forward to being part of the of Tacoma community and the port. I have to comment on the Puget Sound Energy's liquefied natural gas project. The plant is currently in violation by not having all the permits, and I don't quite understand why individuals, sovereign nation individuals, are getting arrested, and why Puget Sound Energy officials, who are in clear violation of the rule of law, why they are not being arrested. I don't understand this, and I would like you to comment. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to make comments at this time?
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, go ahead.
You just moved six, where are you originally from then? Well, welcome.
Thank you very much for that. What I'd like to do then is moving forward under stakeholder updates. We have a very special person in the audience. Dr. Ali Madres is the Director of Urban Studies, and just for my own disclosure to the rest of my fellow commissioners, I do serve on the advisory board. So I get the advantage of getting to hear him a little bit more frequently than perhaps the rest of you. And what's always been interesting about his South Sound initiative is I always like individuals who can interpret data. And that is one of the strong points of this fine gentleman. So welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. And thank you, Commissioner, for having me today.
If you have seen my presentations before, I apologize for that. But if you haven't, I'll try to run through it as fast as I can. So you won't see a lot of charts and numbers, but just stories that goes with it. I'm also relatively new, 5 year. This is my 5th year. When I moved to Tacoma, actually, I was in love right at the beginning. And one of the issues that was sort of astonishing to me was the degree to which this region was unknown outside Pacific Northwest. And for me, that's something that everyone needs to do something about. But here I am to talk a little bit about the assets and some of the issues that we may want to think about. I thought that I'd start Monty Python style by saying, and now for something completely different, and go to that route, but I think I'm going to not do that and stay with the minutes that I have. Basically, one of the competition that I noticed, and you have to remember that I don't come from areas that they have second city syndrome. These are places that don't compete with other places. So for me, it was astonishing the degree to which Pierce County and King County have this sort of a cross-border conversation that sometimes is not very positive. That essentially what we have is two counties with two different economic circumstances, different sets of demographies that speaks to not what has happened, but what we need to do. It is without a doubt clear that when we look at Pierce County and King County, the difference that we see mostly in the demographics is that we have a much younger population, and over time, as I will explain very quickly, that has meant that either there's something, some imbalances between the region and in how it has developed, but also it's important for us to realize that our labor population that's coming in, and I mean labor age population, is fairly young. We have gained a significant amount of population between the ages of 25 and 34, and they're bringing their children with them. And as you will see in the case of King County, that population is declining. However, what that really means, it means that we do have working age population, but not necessarily the jobs that go for them. In other words, there's an imbalance in the way we have structured the place. But there is something unique about Pierce County, and that is its family and children orientation. And I just want to show you a couple of things that you may or may not know. Pierce County is the youngest county among the counties around it. Pierce County also is one of the few counties around that's not aging as fast. And the reason for that is the younger population that's coming to it. And that means that the median age is not dropping, but there's a gap here to be understood, meaning that we have older population and younger population, and that middle part is missing. So for now, we are younger, and compared to the United States, where every 10 years, the median age is going up 2 years, we are doing well. However, that means that by 2050, if we do not have local population, both in the nation and locally, there will be a labor competition, which I will talk about in a bit. About 1 out of 5 of our residents are children. And when I say children, it's because of my age. 15 for me still is a child. So 15 and younger is basically about 1 out of 5 in our region. That speaks highly to who we are, but also demands that we pay attention to our environmental, economic, and all the other issues that we need to think about in terms of accommodating families and their young children. What does this mean is that essentially this has been a place of destination. It's clear. People have come here. There's a large working age population, but as I will talk about, there are reasons for them they come here. It's not for jobs necessarily. They come here for more housing, for their money, and also for the good quality of life. But the good quality of life is compromised because they have to go somewhere else and work in large numbers. Now, in terms of diversity, which is an indicator that I look at, you may not intuitively look at it. Diversity is essentially is an indication of economic advancement. We know that immigrants, for example, go to regions where the economy is prospering and moving forward, and they typically are in the working age population. And when I show you the numbers for our region, you will notice what I'm talking about. In terms of growth in our region, both in King County and in Pierce County, the growth has been mainly from diverse populations and minority population. It has been largely the proportion of the white population, non-Hispanic white population growing has been much smaller. And in terms of foreign-born population, it's astonishing. The state of Washington has done magnificently in attracting immigrant population. We, by 2015, arrived at almost 1 million immigrants in the state. However, I want to point out how immigrants choose winning places, and that is half of the state's immigrant population is in King County. And our share of that population has not been very high. Even though we have seen more presence of foreign-born population, yours truly included, that means that we are not really gaining a lot in that arena. Essentially, most of the immigrant population has been distributed along I-5 corridor and 405 corridor. We call that a bifurcated labor market. Most cities have that. Essentially, high-income immigrants concentrate in one section where the jobs pay really well. That would be the Bellevue, the Renton, and that continuum. And then I-5 corridor, which is largely service workers. So, but the issue is that how do we, in this county, capitalize on this issue? How do we go about creating a sort of an economic environment that allows for that? Because regional diversity also attracts 30-something and their children. This is one of the things we are learning about the new generation and their interest in urban life. Housing and transportation, as I told you, this is an hour talk, I'm going to do it in 15 minutes. So housing and transportation is the painful part for this region. Remember all the population that's coming. Every morning, 150,000 or so of our residents get up and go to another place to work. Another 90,000 come to our county to work, and 167,000 or so are working and living in Pierce County. So we have almost as many people leaving every morning as people who live and work here. Again, there's an economic imbalance. I have, as an outsider, I'm going to say something that you typically don't want to say, and that is, I don't know how across the last 30 years this has come to transpire. How economic development has been focused on a 10-mile by 10-mile area in the entire state to inherit a significant portion of the economy, leaving other regions out to provide essentially sort of a supplemental services. This movement is essentially an uneven pattern of housing and economic development. And in fact, these are indicators that says that we need to do regional work as opposed to doing jurisdiction-based work. And I'll get to that one quickly. Housing is important. Housing is not the answer. Housing is cost and infrastructure. And over time, unless taxes go up, it will be difficult to maintain the infrastructure that's needed for that large level of development in housing. There is this economic housing development imbalance. In terms of economy, I think it would be astonishing for you to know something along this line, that between the first quarter of 2010 and fourth quarter of 2016, the state of Washington had an employment growth of over 500,000, from 2.6 to 3.2 million. Half of these jobs went to King County, the same way the half of immigrants ended up in King County, where employment grew from 1.08 to 1.33 million. Pierce County's share was only 44,000. So the imbalance is not just a little bit, it's a significant imbalance between the two counties, meaning that essentially we are getting to a point where we need to sort of think about what are the economic development sectors that we want to think about and start doing them. The five counties together, if you look at their numbers, King County has about 2/3 of the economy of these counties. And our share, which is larger than the other counties, is only at 14%. So that means a single county essentially has cornered the market. Now, let me sort of show you where things are in terms of our employment. So one way to look at employment and where we are is to look at the top 20 industries in Pierce County. And as you can see, public sector is a significant provider of jobs. And it's because military base and all the other activities that we have in the county. But then after that is one full service restaurants are higher and a little bit higher than the medical facilities that we're proud of. If I break this one a little bit differently for you and break it down to finer level, again, government is the highest level, and you'll see that healthcare comes number two. The two areas with the large growth are retail, trade, and construction. But my worry as somebody who observes these is that these are also the two sectors that produce the highest unemployment. So in other words, if our growth is in areas where the jobs are seasonal and highly responsive to economic cycles of the nation, what's going to happen to them is that in the boom time, we have a lot of them, and as things go badly, they go down. And for retail, I don't know what's going to happen, and you probably can guess what's going to happen in 10 to 15 years with retail, given the likes of Amazon and others. In terms of job growth, it's been in elderly services, electronic shopping, limited service restaurants, temporary help services. There's a challenge with the areas that we are growing, and that challenge really comes from the fact that we are not focusing on a significant portion of the economic sector. For the port, it's very difficult for me to do the numbers because the data that I have does not separate ports in a different way. But if we run the numbers and give the highest level of importance to regional specialization and gross regional products, what we see is that the top three are the federal government, local government, and then the category that I know, which is called water transportation. And water transportation, you can see all of that. So the port is a significant sector of the economy. And you have heard the numbers, you know the numbers better than I do in terms of its level of economic support. But the issue is now, how does that integrate with the region? How does that create multiplier effect? How do we measure that one? I will leave that one up to you to determine how that works. Why people leave, remember this? So I've been asked since my arrival here, why so many people leave every morning? And maybe they just don't think about the commuting. So I have to tell you something. If you're 30-something and somebody pays you 20% more, the last person you think about is you. You think about your family first. And so if somebody pays you more, you're going to go and work somewhere else, and that's a rational decision to be made. If you look at that and look at net commuters, what they do when they go up, the highest level is software development, aircraft structures, customs service representatives, general operation managers. These are people who make a significant amount of income. And their wages are significantly higher. So we have a bit of a challenge, and that is when we look at cost of living adjusted hourly wages, you'll see the same people who left get the highest levels of income. So in other words, their wage is way up there. People who make lower wages are not leaving the county to go work for lower wages up there. So there's a dynamic here that's quite important. And what I mean by that one is not the minimum wage. What I mean by that one is that in professional categories, we are not paying as much as King County does, and that differential has an impact. Now, questions for us to consider is in what sectors of the economy do we excel, locally and regionally? And that's a question that is a $1 million question to ask what it is. If you go outside Pierce County and say, what's Pierce County's specialty, what would be the thing that people think about? Will we succeed on our own, or do we need to work with others to produce a larger economic scale? I have given this talk about 2 years ago. I was giving a presentation, and one of my comments, and which I stand by, is the following. This region is made up of a lot of small jurisdictions. Those jurisdictions individually do not have the economic power to perform and compete on a global scale, but together they can. I'm a regionalist. I believe in jurisdictions working together across multiple platforms to create a sort of structure that gives you a presence on the global scale. Port is a fantastic partner to that and can play a significant role in terms of presenting that global representation of the region. However, multiple jurisdictions need to come together. And from my perspective, and remember, an academic sometimes does not recognize political boundaries, I have to say that Pierce County boundary with King County is sort of fuzzy for me, because to me, South Sound starts actually in Tukwila. It doesn't start at the line of Pierce County. And to be honest with you, if you look at the data, when you look at the census tracts that are along Pierce County and in the southern part of the King County, a significant portion of the commuters who go to King County are from that area. So a large portion of our commuters to the other county also reside in both areas. So one way to think about this is that we need to really think about competitive wages, especially in professional categories. We cannot go on talking about this region being cheap to live in, and therefore wages can be lower. I suggest that we look at cost of living adjusted wages and see how far behind we are. Now, questions that, again, I want to present is, one of them is something that's almost sacrilegious, and I'm almost coming to my end of my presentation, and that is, there's a way to benefit from the economy that's north of us. How do we do that? How do we benefit from the economy that's north of us by complementing and not simply reproducing that? Some of the mistakes that jurisdictions make is they look to somebody else's success and try to reproduce it. And that's the first thing that you want to avoid. You do not want to do that, because there's a reason there's an agglomeration in one location. You want to see what agglomerations you can produce, and this region needs to think about two or three employment center and the diversity of employment that goes to those centers and everybody standing behind those two or three to do it. It may not be your city, or it may be your city. It may be a neighboring city. the impact of development along those is that it provides you transportation infrastructure and it gives you planning tools to deal with the scale that you need to produce. In order to get there, I suggest the following from literature. There has been studies done on this to see how regions succeed. And the one thing that shows up is in terms of leadership, and the leadership that's focused, long-term, and it's a bridge builder. So you need, one of the important things about distressed cities that no longer are distressed is the fact that they committed to a vision that moved across elections, that it moved across time, and they sustained it so they could achieve the results that they wanted. It's not just the public sector's job, it's not just the port's job, it's everyone's job. And that includes the private sector as well. Private sector need to be a partner to that vision that is produced. And with that, I just will tell you just a little bit of one thing that since last year, UWT has been hosting, my program has been hosting meetings of jurisdictions. Port has been represented at those meetings to try to come up with ways in which we can start a dialogue about creating strategies for moving forward collectively and supporting each other. With that, I stop and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mantra. Any questions or comments from the rest of the commissioners? I can say a couple of things. One is it really resonates with me your advocacy for working together. And I'm thinking of our sub-area planning process and the debates that we've had around that subject matter. Because I just fundamentally come, it's just smart by communities to reach out and be more inclusive. So I really appreciate that. The other piece, though, is that on your data, how do you accommodate or is it excluded the JBLM numbers? Because they are so dominant in terms of the employment numbers and the number of people that work on the base or live on the base is just huge.
So that's included in the federal government.
That's
it doesn't separate the military, but it's on the government's payroll.
Oh, okay.
So that shows up under that.
Would that partially explain why you see the younger population considering the age of what I perceive to be the military forces?
That has an impact, but the most important part is that we know from now research across the United States that younger population may like being in highly concentrated urban settings like Seattle, but as soon as they move to their 30s and they have their kids, they begin to move out.
Yeah.
The difference is, and maybe this is something that's off the your areas, but one of the things that's really important is that a new 30-something is not looking for large, single, detached homes. So they also look for something that has a semi-urban vibe so they can remember their 20s. So in some ways, they're a little bit nostalgic about that life. So they don't want to go to a place where they're isolated. They want to be connected. The second part of this is that housing types drive migration as well. So when we think about somebody who comes from another state, let's say California, when they think about housing, a 20-mile distance is not a huge thing.
Yeah.
We're not talking about people moving 100 miles away to get a home. The factor to think about is that the 30-something who is coming here is coming by choice or by force of the housing costs up there. So regardless of why they're here, we need to not be sort of a destination place that works ad hoc, that we need to actually plan for that. We don't want to be the recipient of a decision, collective decision. We want to be a part of that decision-making process.
Well, thank you very much, Commissioner.
I have a couple of one simple question, actually,
okay.
And another one a little more complicated. When you showed us the figures on the population numbers on employment, you did local government but excluded education and healthcare. So would that be the fourth category?
So the education and healthcare are separated out for our purposes because
right.
Even though they're local government, many of them because they're public sector,
right.
Then you don't want to include it because it works out different. So data actually comes that way and divided up.
Okay.
And excludes it in and replicates it somewhere else.
Yeah, I was looking at some other figures and noticed if you put all that together, it's government, it just takes over everything.
Yeah, government basically between the state, federal and local government,
yeah.
That's the largest employer.
Yeah.
Actually, for the port, it's not the size of your employment, it's the size of the economy that you produce.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so this is the more complicated question.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so just to set the framework, you know, we all participate in the Puget Sound Regional Council. Mm-hmm. We all participate in growth management plans. We all participate in transportation plans. And when I say this, I'm talking about Snohomish, King, Kitsap, and Pierce counties. So this is one question, but then there's another part, which is really the same question. What is it that counties like Pierce need to do when they are collaborating in plans like growth management or economic development on a regional basis? What do they need to be looking to put into these plans that in fact will benefit employment in Pierce County? So that's part of it. The other part of it is that currently there is a regional economic development authority association that is under formation under the Challenge Seattle Act. The players are predominantly King County Economic Development, King County Chamber, and the purpose here is to also bring in a tremendous amount of money investment from the private sector. What would Pierce County need to do to ensure that there was some benefit accruing to Pierce County as this particular organization starts working?
Actually, the answer to all of them is very short.
Good.
If one thing that this region needs to present is a collective vision, and if you ask PSRC and others about what is it that if you excluded King County for one second, what is it that Pierce County wants to achieve collectively as a county? Mm-hmm. Ports, cities, county, everybody coming together, what is their collective vision for the next 20 years? Because one of the things that happens is that either planning comes to you or you plan, right? And PSRC's role is a little bit different. Because remember that when we look at data, we are doomed because we look at the data, things that have happened, and based on that, we project into the future. So the assumption is sometimes that things remain constant. If you don't want things to remain constant, you need to be projecting out. So for example, on growth centers, of course for PSRCs, growth centers are going to be where they can see the viability of a growth center. For us, we need to sort of project what they are. And that's why the questions I asked, what is the vision for economic development, community development, and quality of life as we move forward? How do we articulate Pierce County beyond our love for it, which is a great place to live? You have to package that in a way that moves forward. I personally think that for PSRC that would be helpful. At least the little conversation that I've had with them, they may be more open to hearing from Pierce County, at least from my standpoint, to see what that vision is and how they can incorporate into that. Otherwise, representing Pierce County on a board is one thing, but going to that board with not just one person first, asserting that we need more than one or two because there's this representational issue or differential that needs to be looked at. But what visions can we bring to the table? Overall, remember that there's also this historical momentum of growth which is difficult to stand in front. So if you look at, and I didn't include this slide, if you look at Seattle's growth, it's just a line that goes up. For Spokane, for Tacoma, for Everett, for everybody else, it just said flat. Average growth, annual growth for Tacoma has been less than a quarter of a percentage point across 15 years. So when we talk about growth in Pierce County, I'm not sure how much of it in one place or the other. And so the issue is that are we at the point where we know Pierce County is a recipient of population yet to come? How we're going to accommodate and what they're going to be doing. In other words, housing portion of it we can take care of, but where? Jobs, where would they do? If another 200,000 people show up in the next 10 years, what would they do in Pierce County?
Thank you. It's a good lesson. A number of years ago, I participated in a Trade Development Alliance study trip to Ireland. And at that time, this was the very beginning of the Celtic Dragon, as it was beginning. All the ministers, all of the public officials that we had presentations from, almost identical statements that they had to make. It was like the entire country's government had come together and said, this is the vision we have of Ireland. This is what it's going to look like. Here it is. So what you're saying is, replicate the,
yeah.
replicate what others have done in other places in that particular way.
Unified regions succeed. You just have to create that unified region.
Yeah, that's the work. Could you share with us your presentation?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm assuming, on that point, can we make it available on our website? Because I think sharing this information in a broad way, is that okay? Is that allowed?
If you don't mind, just turn it into PDF because this is really a large file.
Oh, okay. I hope that's possible. And any other questions or comments from the commission? Thank you very much.
My
it's always insightful. I like your form of questioning. I'm not certain we have all the answers, but you know, the questions you posed are very important to us and things we talk about with our neighbors as well as the commission here. So thank you so much again.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Dr.
We need a name, Bill Gates.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Boyd.
Yeah, there you go.
Paul Allen.
Okay, we're now down to our action agenda. And the first item we have is Commission International Travel, January through June of this year. Tom Zhu, Chief Commercial Officer.
Thank you, Commissioner Meyer. I'm super pleased to stand here to offer you some options as far as international travel for the first half of 2018.
And maybe just by way of clarification for Commissioner McCarthy, this is, involves basically the commission takes up approval for essentially travel to specific events not necessarily pertaining to U.S. travel. This is
international
yes. travel. And of course, customer visits is as needed. So these are just conferences or elements that we normally take up and approve in a public way for transparency purposes. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Meyer. So I've listed a couple of trade missions. So let me go through them and give you a little more detail. And the first one is a trade mission to India and Nepal. And it's March 25th to April 2nd. It is organized by Washington State India Trade Relations Action Committee. It's a nonprofit organization made up by a group of volunteers. And their ultimate mission or goal is to promote bilateral relationship between Washington State, US, and India. Now, I thought it might be helpful to give you a little bit of a context in terms of our trade with India so you can put things in perspective. India is our number nine trading partner in terms of for the entire USA, US and India trade. About 75% of that trade happens between India and East Coast ports. Another 15% happens with Gulf ports. And we get the balance of trade with India, West Coast ports. So when I pulled some stats for 2016, it showed me that our trade with India is about less than 2%, so roughly about 30,000 TEUs in 2016. And there's reason for that. I wanted to summarize the reason for why we have such limited trade with India. It's number one reason is geographic reasons, right? The reason why most of the trade happens with East Coast ports is because they're closest to the largest container ports in India, west side of India. I think Commissioner Patridge is very familiar with that. Also to put that in further put that in perspective, it takes about 29 days, let's say, from the largest container port from India to Chicago through East Coast, New York, New Jersey. It would take about 39 to 43 days from West Coast. Associated with the cost is also true. I think all of our carrier customers obviously have done their study and recognize it's just not commercially viable for them to ship through PNW ports and West Coast ports as a whole. So that's So all in all, I believe that our opportunities for expanding trade with India, there is possibility, but it's somewhat limited because of those reasons I cited.
Could I ask you a question on that?
Because, sure.
I happen to live out in an area where Waste Connections, I think it's Waste Connections, I think they're the ones that bought PMMA. And one of the things that is happening is on the whole recycling program, and you know, China has changed its policies with regards to recycled material, cardboard, whatever else. But the main thought that they were trying to generate and business interest is India. Are you hearing any of that?
I think that's a possibility. I have not looked into that I think it's a pretty recent development, I believe.
It is recent.
So I haven't had a chance to look into that.
They should probably go on this mission.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at it, all I'm saying is it's very interesting in terms of what's going to happen to all of that product, because they're really stacked up. There's a real issue out there in terms of recyclable material that we otherwise have been shipping to China is no longer acceptable to China. Mm-hmm. So where is it going to go? And who else might be interested? And all I'm saying is they were looking at India. That's why I'm raising that.
I'm aware that one of the principals with that company, Waste Management, met with the key principal with that's organizing this trip to India.
Oh, okay.
So they've had some conversations relative to what you're calling out.
Very good.
Commissioner.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Meyer, and this is not to say there's not potential for further trade. I believe there are opportunities for inbound, outbound investment between India and this region. So I was primarily focused on ocean trade. And the next one is Trade Development Alliance's International Leadership Mission to Singapore. And as all of our commissioners are aware, that Singapore, Port of Singapore, is the largest transshipment port in the world, I would say. So and certainly is a major hub for international shipping. And we do have a very important customer. The three Japanese carriers are forming this alliance called ONE, and that alliance will be headquartered in Singapore. And then coming down to the third one, I was made aware there's a AAPA organized commissioners seminar that's scheduled to happen this June in Canada. And I was trying to look up additional details. It was not successful. I don't think they have published anything. Perhaps, I don't know.
I don't know if their agenda is out just yet. I think they're still in the works.
But you know, the subject matter of whether it's harbor maintenance tax or whatever else, it's important.
Yeah.
And I would even encourage Commissioner McCarthy to seriously think about this, because I think it's a great way to understand a little bit as to what's happening at the federal level. So I'm just saying it's an important group right now relative to harbor maintenance tax, but there are other issues.
Yes. And for the benefit of Commissioner McCarthy, AAPA stands for America Association of Ports, Port Authorities. So then our usual customer visits. So you didn't ask me, but I'm offering my recommendation. I would agree with Commissioner Meyer. I think AAPA is the right, sets the right platform for commissioners to engage in different issues concerning North American ports. I also think that customer visits, and that John, Don, and myself are looking at, commercial team is looking at possibly a visit to our customers in Asia. And if there's opportunity to perhaps be part of the TDA trip, we are evaluating and see if we can make that happen. And a lot of it has to do with our customers' availability. So I don't know if you have further questions.
Are there any other, is this your full recommendation?
This is actually the one highlighted in blue.
The bottom two.
The bottom two.
Oh, the bottom two? Okay, thank you. Any other comments, questions by the commissioners?
No.
I would like to entertain a motion.
So move that we accept the TDA and the AAPA and customer visits.
Second.
The TDA AAPA and the customer visits. So there's three items that were, you're recommending. Any further conversation? And it was seconded. Any further discussion?
From my perspective, I can support the recommendations for AAPA and the customer visits.
I was just thinking if you were to combine the customer visits with the Singapore visit, because you'd have customers that you'd be visiting there, as well as have an opportunity to do some regional conversations.
So we're evaluating and see and making sure that that's a good time and works out for our customers.
Okay. Well, that following the customer visits.
Yeah.
I would say that I would encourage you to look at that possibility based upon the motion that we have in front of us, because I always, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And tying it into customer visits is of paramount importance, I think.
Yeah. But from my perspective, if you authorize customer visits, anything you want to do in the customer visits fits. So you can go to dinner, you can go to a seminar, you can do anything else, but in the process of visiting customers.
So we have a motion before us to include the Trade Development Alliance, AAPA customer seminar, and customer visits. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
The motion is carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioners.
And just for clarification, this doesn't preclude, if something was to come up with regards to international travel, that you would present it to the Commission and we would look at the merits of it and move from there.
Yes, Commissioners. Thank you.
This is not just saying, this is all we're doing.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Tom. Next item we have is Scott. He's going to talk about the authorization for additional funding, the ability to spend money.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm here today to request project authorization increase in the amount of $150,000 for a total authorized amount of $488,000 for environmental work associated with the Model Toxics Control Act cleanup, or rather investigation of a former Rockwell manufacturing facility on Taylor Way. The port acquired the former Rockwell plant in 2002. The seller, Thermafiber, retained the environmental cleanup liability under the terms of a purchase and sale agreement. Thermafiber's predecessor, USG Corporation, used Asarco slag as a raw material from 59 to 73. And in fact, Asarco slag was used as a raw material when the plant was built in the early 1940s. And releases of arsenic and other heavy metals occurred as a consequence of the use of Asarco slag. The property was first known to be contaminated as a consequence of work that EPA did in the 1980s as part of the run-up to the listing of Commencement Bay on the National Priorities List, when groundwater containing heavy metals was found to be seeping into the Hylabos waterway. This is an aerial photograph taken from 1950, and I just want to point out a couple of features. You can see Taylor Way here in the foreground. This is the Hylabos waterway in the background before it was dredged to add another turning basin at the head of the waterway. You'll notice the general absence of development along Marine View Way, as well as the surrounding hillside. Turning back to the plant, here's the rail spur where imported raw materials were used in the manufacturing process, and Asarco slag was a big component of that. USG's records indicated that they used volumes on the order of 2,000 tons of slag a month. And they combined slag with limestone, basalt, coke, and other materials and melted it in a device called the cupola. And you can see the emissions from that cupola from the stack located along the property line. This aerial photograph was taken 11 years later, and I just want to point out this large plume of dark smoke that's emanating from the stack. And that's one of the reasons why USG was among the first entities regulated by the Puget Sound Air Pollution Control Agency under Regulation 1 in the late 1960s due to the opacity of the smoke. They were able to get a handle on the emissions by shifting to cleaner burning steel slag in 1973, which not uncoincidentally is the same year that PSAPCA enacted regulations controlling airborne emissions of arsenic. This is a photograph taken from the interior of the plant after Asarco slag was discontinued. And what I want to point out is this hot beam of molten rock that's being shot under high pressure steam into a device that I suppose is analogous to a cotton candy maker that you see at the Puyallup Fair. One difference is that not all of the material was processed into mineral fiber. A lot of it dropped out, is shot. And you can see accumulations of that being conveyed back onto the floor below the workers' feet. In fact, they generated quite a bit of shot. Roughly half the material that was imported to make Rockwool ended up as shot, waste material containing heavy metals, in addition to baghouse dust, which contains large amounts of soluble metals. So USG has been working under an ecology-agreed order to develop a remedial investigation and feasibility study since 1994. When USG sold the property to Thermafiber in 1996, they indemnified Thermafiber. And Thermafiber similarly indemnified the port when the port acquired the property in 2002. The Rockwool manufacturing plant has been demolished, and it's now at the site of a trucking terminal under a long-term lease to the port. Ecology required a new agreed order in 2006 based entirely on the port's acquisition of the property and amended the scope of the order to add a cleanup action plan. Otherwise, the scope is the same as it was in 1994. And Ecology approved the remedial investigation in 2016. So again, USG has been the performing party since 1994 and continues to this day. So USG is in the process of developing a feasibility study in order to identify a final remedy for the site. Continued engagement by port staff is necessary to ensure that the remedy that's ultimately selected is MACA compliant. What I mean by that is that it's protective of the people that work on the property and that it ensures that all of the good work that was done to clean up the Hylabos, this site is cleaned up sufficiently that the Hylabos won't be recontaminated. We also need to ensure that the remedy is compatible with the tenant's use of the property under the lease. And we also have an interest in including a mechanism in the cleanup order to make the port whole for incremental redevelopment costs, which are sure to occur after the property is redeveloped at the end of the lease. So the scope of the project includes a technical review of USG's work products, legal support, an allocation report for offsite impacts associated with USG's operations. That effort's concluded. Staff time and consultant support and work with the Department of Ecology. This request is more the same with the exception of the allocation report that has been completed. Schedule. Again, USG is completing the work, so the schedule will ultimately be driven by USG's efforts. But Ecology's expectation, as well as the port's, are that an effort of this scope should be completed within 2 years' time, or by December 31st of 2019. The estimated budget for the project is $488,000. The capital investment plan allocates $690,000 for this project. There are no permitting, water quality, or air quality impacts associated with this action. And so in conclusion, I'm requesting additional project authorization in the amount of $150,000 for a total authorized amount of $488,000 for the former USG manufacturing plant at 2301 Taylor Way agreed order. Master identification number 101227.01, formerly known as Master ID 096242.
Thank you, Scott, very much. I'd like to entertain a motion for purposes of discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further comments by the commissioners?
Just a question, if I could. And in reading all of the check authorizations, if you will, and looking at the cost of these cleanup projects, et cetera, I'm curious as to competitive bidding to perform some of this consulting professional work. Is this something that there are a lot of people in the business that you could shop around, or are we pretty much at hostage to a few organizations who do this type of work?
For this particular project, USG is leading the effort and is incurring the lion's share of the work. All the other remediation projects are required to undergo a competitive solicitation project or process, and the criteria is primarily the best qualified to do the work. The idea being that they would bring forth the highest value proposition that would drive the cost down.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
I think you did. Are the costs incurred at this port similar to those for similar type projects at other port or other industrial development districts?
I would say yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think one of the best ways to create value through the cleanup process is to integrate the remediation of the site with the redevelopment. Invariably, if you take a site through the cleanup process and then layer on a redevelopment action after the fact, you end up having to tweak the cleanup in some significant ways. So if you can integrate the two, you can marry up the outgoing cash flow with the remediation with the incoming cash flow from a development action, and minimize the likelihood that you'd have to redo the cleanup down the road.
Is it you as the project manager that oversees the contracts or determines whether the scope of work and the work that's being done is appropriate or not, or who actually does that?
It's a team effort that involves procurement, purchasing, engineering, and various folks within environmental, including remediation staff. I would say it's a team effort.
Do you ever skip gears and midstream hire a different consultant because we feel that one is either not performing professionally or their costs are too onerous?
That certainly happened. Certainly has happened here at the port, and I'd say in my experience working in the private sector, including major multinational corporations, it doesn't happen infrequently. It does occur.
Okay, thank you. Very good. Any other comments, questions? Any comments by the public? If not, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much. And I think what's important here on this particular project is ultimately getting to the cleanup of source control on the Hylabus waterway. Right, Scott?
Yes.
See how he said yes?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. As he was running away. Okay, next item we have for consideration, and I really want to emphasize consideration. One of the things we do every year is we kind of look at the list of involvement, commissioners, staff, and whatnot. And in your packet, there should be
spreadsheet.
There's way to the back, and it's about 1, 2, 3, almost 3.5 pages. Wow, it keeps adding rather than
growing.
Subtracting. And
you can do something about that.
Yeah, I know. Actually, if it's okay with the rest of the members here, I want to go down a couple of these items because there's some new things. I've also, by the way, just so that the rest of you know it, I did have an opportunity to talk with our newest commissioner, Commissioner McCarthy, about some of these items. So I didn't just arbitrarily say, John, you're it, buddy. Although I will tell you, if you notice, there's quite a few X's in Commissioner McCarthy's column. So
well,
I'm more than pleased.
We started our discussion, I know.
But I will tell you, one of the things I think I was very appreciative is that I normally was the Alaska Chamber of Commerce representative, and John wants to get involved with that. But I will tell you, and maybe John Wolf, one of the things that I will say is I'm not quite certain where all we're going, particularly given the fact that Gary Brackett at the Chamber resigned, you know, or retired. And so I couldn't really give a good orientation to John McCarthy in terms of what's happening, because I've not participated for the last 2 years in the chamber event. So I think it's important we kind of update ourselves as to how we're connecting to Alaska, and particularly given the fact that, you know, now that we have the alliance, I just don't have a good understanding of where we're going and what we're doing. So
yeah, fair point. And it's been a while since we had our Alaska representative come before the commission, so maybe we should plug that in.
I think that would be very valuable, because we haven't heard from her.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's great.
Okay, we'll make sure that gets scheduled.
I did. After our conversation, I reached out to someone with the chamber, and they told me who from the chamber was moving into the role.
Okay, good. Excellent, because as we all know, Alaska's a very important client, so to speak, given our customers here at the port.
You know, now that we have the technology, especially with Alaska, it might be interesting just to do like a 3 or 4 times a year Skype call even with our Alaska rep to have a sense of what she's working on, rather than having her.
Rather than catch an airplane.
I mean, she comes down for the chamber meeting once a year, I think, but I don't know how often she's in Tacoma.
I agree. I think that's great. Yeah.
She was also here for, trying to remember what the event was up north that we had. I think it was related to the Seaport Alliance. I think it was our customer event that she attended. So we'll check in with her to see when she's down here, and if it's too far out in the schedule, we'll look at the other options of using Skype.
The next item I'd like to at least bring to the attention of the group here is item 4, Asia Pacific Cultural Center Board. We don't have anybody identified at this stage of the game, and we do have a staff.
Have we been invited?
Excuse me?
Have we been invited?
You know, I think this was a carryover from Commissioner Bacon,
yes,
if I'm not
mistaken. That's on your list,
so
right.
I don't quite know. All I'm saying is right now it's blank until we understand that whole dynamic and whether or not they want us to, you know, someone else to serve on that from a board representative standpoint. So it's open. It's an open question as far as I'm concerned, unless you have new information, John.
I'm sorry, I missed which organization?
Item 4, Asia Pacific Cultural Center Board. I'm assuming that's more of an invite than it is just.
Yeah, exactly. I think Commissioner Bacon served there for many, many years.
Yes. Okay, so I'm through with that first page. I'm on to the second page. Let me see what's here. There was something. I want to say also thank you for all those members who participate on PSRC. We're definitely involved in different. Look, I'm speaking of items 19 through really 23.
Yeah.
Are very important to us, and we thank you for your participation.
Commissioner, can I make a comment on that?
Yes.
I think it was last week or the week before, representatives from the Puget Sound Regional Council Economic Development District Board came down just looking at what their plans are for this coming year and how the port might be involved in that. And one of the recommendations that was made from those who were participating in that was that frequently, it appears, not frequently, but occasionally, it appears that each of these committees that each of us serves on separately often seems to be operating in a silo. And you do not see enough collaboration on PSRC between committees. So we've asked them to prepare kind of a presentation and a conversation, a workshop for all of us in Pierce County, all the participants in PSRC, to come and see, identify where are those places where there should be, let's say, correction taken, so that we all are operating on the same page. So I'm just going to suggest that we don't communicate very well, even though we all participate in certain aspects of PSRC, everybody is on this list, we don't have a conversation among ourselves about what we're working on necessarily. And it would be great then to see PSRC start putting together what that vision is, where there is collaboration and agreement on where each of those boards is going. So I just wanted to do a heads up that they are planning to do that. I think Bruce Danmeyer is going to invite them to come down and do something in Pierce County.
Good.
But I think it would be great for all of us to be able to probably communicate more directly on what's going on at PSRC.
Oh, that sounds good. Sounds good.
You know, that's a great example, Claire, and I thank you for bringing that up, because there's a lot of times maybe some of us may not be able to make something.
Yeah.
So you're asked to attend and say, oh, by the way, there's going to be a vote, and this is what it's about.
Yeah.
And then you go, wait a minute, Yvette, what are we doing now?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So,
yeah.
Well, very good. Well, actually,
Yvette fortunately does attend many of these things, so she's aware of the challenges that we have.
Okay, thank you very much for that input, Claire. The new item 25 of Puyallup Tribe Liaison, that's a new item, and I think that we're very, very fortunate here to have Commissioner McCarthy join us, and particularly given his background relative to the serving on the commission during the Puyallup land claim settlement. So he's identified as kind of as our liaison so that the staff knows the main point of contact, and I just appreciate John's willingness to do that.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to the opportunity and challenge.
Very good. Let's see. I got to go down here. Just bear. Oh,
Item 32, it's originally, when I had this, I was trying to figure out, maybe I'd identify a couple of neighborhood councils and try to assign commissioners or at least suggest commissioners. And then I backed away from that based upon some input from staff, which I thought was really good. And that is that I think one of the goals we should have this year in particular, as we celebrate our 100th anniversary, I think we should reach out. It's called Tacoma Neighborhood Councils, but it could be neighborhood councils throughout Pierce County. This really, I think Commissioner Marzano, remember when we attended, I think it was the 25th anniversary celebration of the neighborhood councils at over by, I guess it was
Mount Tahoma.
Boys and Girls, Mount Tahoma.
Yeah.
So I wanted to put that on there. We don't have any assignments, but I would suggest one of the goals I think we should have this year, and again, my framework is our 100th year celebration. We ought to be reaching out to, or make a presentation, and commissioners, if we can make it, to each and every, at least as a minimum, for Tacoma Neighborhood Councils. I just think it's a way for us to be involved with our neighborhoods throughout the city, but I don't want to imply it's only Tacoma-centric, okay, at this stage.
It could be Pierce County Neighborhood Council.
Yes, or Frederickson Neighborhood Council, for that matter, in my case.
Yeah.
But I hope that we can have some kind of a game plan once we get our anniversary program squared away and our ability to go out into the neighborhood, in addition to talk about current issues, but also celebrate our 100th anniversary and thank our communities. So anyway, that's what
are you kind of suggesting, that we look at our own the neighborhoods where we live also as
well? I think that's a pretty logical one, and I originally started with that kind of orientation, and then I got to thinking, well, wait a minute, this isn't just where you live, this is about being, but where you live is a good spot to start with, but it isn't the end spot. But again, my hope for outcome would be we touch base with some of these major neighborhood councils throughout Pierce County, and our ability to celebrate our 100th anniversary and any other issues that we would speak to. So that's the purpose of line item 32. So it's more individual calendars. It's more of saying, when we get our program together, let's take it out and celebrate it with the community, rather than saying, well, we're going to have a major event, and if you can make it, fine, or otherwise, you can't. Okay? Is there anything else? Let me see what's here.
Okay, we go to 39 since you're on that page.
Excuse me?
Number 39, you're on that page.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That was also listed on this letter.
I think, is that the group that Commissioner Bacon was involved with?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can address that. I think we approved it in our budget. And the only reason I would address it is that I was also at one point invited to participate in that through the work that I do with Sister Cities International. So I'm more than happy to kind of take it on here, and I think we need to look at it and see what value and benefit it really does have for the port. I know it's an opportunity to be aware of and connected with a number of federal bodies and particularly trade issues that people throughout the nation are concerned and interested in. So this says it's a Washington State Advisory Committee, but I think it's also a U.S. global coalition.
Okay, well,
so I'm happy to do it and report back.
Very good. So
one comment on that, unless I'm confused here, I thought that membership was Seaport Alliance. I thought it was even approved through the Seaport Alliance.
Oh, well, then maybe it is. So maybe that's where this goes.
So not to say that
the
Seattle Commission might be excited the fact that you're willing to step forward there. I just wanted to call that out. I believe it's Seaport Alliance. And one other thing, we did have some discussions before Commissioner Bacon left her seat, and that was at the request of the managing members. If you may recall, during that budget presentation, we met with the group that leads that organization, and I need to circle back. We were questioning, even Commissioner Bacon was questioning whether we should retain that membership, and I don't recall where we landed on that.
Okay, well, it's still on the list,
and
I'm aware of it, and I do know they do good work. So, The question is it work that is most beneficial for us?
Yeah, and so maybe we bring this up in a managing member meeting,
sure.
Seaport Alliance managing member meeting. Good.
Well, thank you for volunteering,
sure.
Claire. And now that kind of summarize, unless there are other additions or
there's other on the
other comments.
Memo. On the other memo, you had a few others.
Oh,
yeah, the
did?
City of Tacoma Mayor's Commission on International Relations. It's not certain. I had a conversation with our new mayor, who I believe
yes.
is going to continue that. So,
I have you identified as that
yeah.
Mayor's Commission on International Relations.
But there's a, we had two seats on it.
Oh, we've had two seats
yeah.
on it. Oh, I got
so
you.
So we can have two, I think, if anybody
well,
wants to do it, or we don't have to have two.
Okay, I guess
either way.
It's important to note that we're, if anyone would like to be the second seat or
sure.
another seat, I should say.
If Claire's on there, what if Claire makes a determination
yeah.
whether or not we need two seats?
Okay, I guess the Fujio
Advisory Committee, that's not exactly through the World Trade Center, but it is, yeah, it's in
yeah,
relation
yeah.
with the City of Tacoma and the Fujio project that Mike Fowler leads, as well as his now leadership of the World Trade Center Tacoma.
Okay.
So what would you, I mean, that's a question for our staff board member who sits on World Trade Center, if you think that that's necessary to continue with the Fujio Advisory Committee. Yvette.
Hi, Yvette Mason, Government Affairs, and I work with the World Trade Center. I think that the Fujio group is now the China Trade and Investment Program, and in the bylaws for that group, or for the World Trade Center, and in our contract, there is an advisory committee for the China Trade and Investment Program. And Tong is actually the staff lead on that, and Commissioner Bacon had been the commissioner that was on that. And then I believe that Mike is on there, and then Debbie Bingham from the City of Tacoma now. So it would be great to have another commissioner in that advisory committee, and then they report to the World Trade Center Board.
And do they meet really often?
I believe it's quarterly.
Too bad. Thank you.
Okay, so does that answer the question now for you, Claire? In terms of the participation,
yeah, I guess so.
Okay, and the we already talked about. I think item four should be done. We just need to figure out relationship
right.
we have with the alliance,
right.
and then the item five is already on our list. Commissioner McCarthy has taken care of that.
Oh, good.
It's already on our list. So, with that, yes, Commissioner McCarthy.
With regard to item eight, the Freight Mobility Strategic Investment Board, and I am certainly willing to serve. I think it does important work. I learned yesterday, though, and I might have incorrect information, that that's an appointment by the governor, and there may be a couple of other commissioners from other locations that may have sought that position. Do you know anything about that?
I can give you a little history. Oh, go ahead, John.
I can answer that because we just had an executive board meeting, and you were nominated at the head of the
oh,
list.
Okay.
Right. There were other commissioners to be yet. I can't tell you the other two because they have to be discussed. But I can tell you that you were recommended as a priority appointment.
I see. It's up to the governor.
Yeah, it's up to the governor. Yeah, this is a governor's appointment, so
okay.
this is only a recommendation.
The past has always been where there's been a kind of a Tacoma commissioner, Seattle commissioner,
right.
and it's varied and changed. And the small ports in other areas still have their commissioner too, that they got to choose. And one time it was Jim Tomey from Pasco,
yeah.
Larry Larson from Vancouver, other commissioners like that, but. The two main ports, the big ports, have always had kind of exchanged. That was the understanding.
Yeah.
In fact, Commissioner Creighton was the appointed person, and I was the alternate, actually. And so following what Commissioner Rosendo alluded to, normally it rotates
right.
between Seattle and Tacoma. There's no guarantee on that, but,
sure.
but usually the governor typically pays attention to that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so we've got a few open-ended items, but and it's up for action. Do you feel comfortable enough to take action, recognizing we've got a few open seats that we'll have to fill in later? Could I entertain a motion?
So moved.
Second. Okay, we've moved second. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you so much. That's a little clarity, and thank you for your participation. We're now down to general business. Normally, we ask our CEO to make some comments, but you don't have to, John.
Back
really
to you.
Yeah. My goal is 1:30, John.
I'm good.
Okay, very good. Next topic is we have a lot of work to do this year. And I really want to start with a thank you to Commissioner Marzano for your leadership, by the way, last year. You know, that we have a lot of items to be focused on and a lot of opportunities coming in front of us, not the least of which such things as trying to, you know, we're in the middle, essentially, this year, in the middle of our alliance process. And a big part of that is being clear about how we develop the organization for Home Port Tacoma. As an example, what I would like to do as a suggestion is that we set up a couple of, I'll call it work sessions with the commission. I would like to hear some of your topics that could possibly be on that agenda. But I see a real need to get organized, to get focused, and to get agreement on what some of those topics might be. But I really feel trying to get a new sound system for the Port of Tacoma.
That might be number one.
So that's what this is. That's what this is all about, is our ability to sit down and have the capability of talking about the items we need to focus on, get organized, and get in sync. And so I'm just saying that. Even items like, I'm pretty proud of the fact that we changed our community investment fund from $35,000 up to $250,000. But I think we ought to be taking this opportunity to say, wait a minute, let's re-examine the criteria by which we have out there in terms of how we make decisions. And it's those sorts of subject matter that I'd like to hear from you, and then maybe we could sit down. I could talk with John and get some agreement on it. But I see at least a need for two work sessions, maybe more, but at least two.
If I can, I agree with that. I think that my biggest concern is we list 45 items, and we got to get it down to three if we want to provide real value. And there's all kinds of things to do, and we might want to do that in kind of a public study session meeting. Just take a short period of time and mention those items so we can all learn from each other without a lot of discussion around the item. Just list and see if we can't establish some priority around at the top, because I agree, reorganizing the Port of Tacoma, whatever it's going to look like, is going to take some time and deserves a lot of discussion. And I'd like not to get lost on other issues, because we have to get this done this year.
Well, my suggestion would be is that get your topics sent to Judy as a suggestion. And then following up on what you just alluded to is that at our next public meeting for Port of Tacoma, I like the idea of transparency. And so let's list those items that we think we'd like to look at, and we'll need to prioritize, because my suspicion is you're right on. There's going to be probably a lot of items, but we'll just have to prioritize.
I'd like to see us put a kind of a timeline together, at least an aspirational.
No, I agree with that.
Timeline, if you will, because we have had about 2 years or more that we've been discussing this transition, and I think it's important for us to know that within 12 months or 15 months or 10 months, we'd like to aim at having some recommendations to bring forward.
I think it's important to do that, because we need to understand the logistics around the issue.
I agree with that time frame, because, or at least to say, here are the topics, and then how do they fit into that time frame in terms of what our overall goals are.
Yes. You know, and my initial observation just coming on board is that there's a whole lot of issues out there people are interested in, and Obviously, the commission discusses some things in an executive session when they involve legal or real estate, but there are a lot of issues that I really don't have an understanding of how the body feels as a group, haven't had a conversation with the full body because of the Open Public Meeting Act, for example, that we're limited in discussions as a group. So having a work session, having a study session where we can talk the commission's attitude on the sub-area planning process, mm-hmm. the commission's attitude on some other really important issues in the community. That would be, I think, a great opportunity for me to understand your perspectives as a group on them in an open public session. That would be helpful to me.
Yeah, good, good.
Don, if I'm not mistaken, the first one is February the 2nd, right?
That's what it, has that been scheduled, Judy?
Yes.
Excuse me?
October, you mean February
2nd. Wow. Claire got her timeline real quick. So February 2nd is
February
2nd. Then I guess Commissioner Johnson, we aren't going to be able to do exactly what you suggested.
But we can
Our work session could be public. I mean, there's no reason.
Nothing wrong with being public, right?
Yeah, let's approach that one on the basis of being public about in terms of our topics and whatnot, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So February 2nd, we're scheduled. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for that. Now, unless we have any other conversation on that, I am down to commission comment. Commissioner Brazino?
Okay. All right. I have a question in terms of process and procedure. You know, having read about the decision with Puget Sound Energy yesterday and receiving a copy of the letter from the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency in terms of their seeking a supplemental environmental impact statement. I have a general question is in terms of a supplemental EIS, and I don't know that it's clear, and I have the letter in front of me, and I'm not quite sure what the scope is of the supplemental environmental impact statement, but I'm curious as to for what you understand, and I'm turning to either Executive Wolf or our attorney, Carolyn Lake, what is the role of the port in commenting on questions or aspects that are going to come up in this supplemental impact statement? Can you give me a little bit of insight as to the formal role of the port vis-a-vis the lease the port has with Puget Sound Energy and vis-a-vis the role of the port in general in terms of answering questions that the supplemental study will review?
Good question, and I'm pleased that you have a copy of the written communication. We don't have the benefit of that yet.
Oh, is that right?
Right.
It was the one dated January 24th?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
There was something that there was a big article in the paper today.
Right.
Part of the
No, but regardless of that, I think those are, you know, good questions relative to, because I'm being asked about, well, what's the port doing about this, and do you support it or don't you support it? I mean, that those are the sorts of questions I'm getting in the community, so I'm assuming that's why Commissioner McCarthy is asking those questions.
In a very broad general sense, we have had PSC take the lead in responding and commenting because obviously they are the person and the entity with the best information, and we'll take a look at the reason why. I understand it's related to the greenhouse gas issue.
Say that again, please.
Greenhouse gas issue. So we'll take, once we've had a chance to read that and review with our environmental department.
Do you know if we weigh in on any of the questions that they may ask? Or
we certainly have the opportunity to do so as a stakeholder and just as a member of the general.
I'm sorry.
I do believe I've read the letter and apologize that our council hasn't yet. I think it came out yesterday. My understanding in a general sense is that the scope would include looking at the upstream, downstream effects of that facility. In a general sense, that's my understanding. I'd lean towards council in terms of what our role is in that.
If you could take a little time to review that.
Absolutely.
Okay. When the initial environmental impact statement was completed back in, I think, 2015, at that time, I believe the city undertook the majority of that, am I?
Absolutely. The city was the state lead agency at that time.
At that time, did they seek input from the port, or was the port involved in providing input to that process?
They were supportive in giving the information that the port had that was relevant to those issues. And we were partnered with PSC for the deal at the volunteers.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And actually, Commissioner McCarthy, we are under commission comments. So is there any other comments that you would like to have? Commissioner Johnson?
No, I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Marzano?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, then I get the feel-good comments.
You have the gavel, Don. Remember that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And Claire, it's just a little bit past 1:30. That was my outcome.
You want the feel-good stuff. Well,
let's get it over with.
So, okay. Well, then give me time. So, first thing is, I just want to announce that there is an international film festival coming to Tacoma.
Okay.
Here's some information about it. There's some out here for people who are attending the meeting. It starts on February 1st. There you go.
Okay,
so pass it out, give it to your friends, and come to see the films from around the world. So you have blessed me with the fun opportunity to work with our staff on the centennial. Mm-hmm. And I just want to use this moment that we have for public comments just to let everybody know, kind of up to date, what's going on. Little snippets. We are ready from the beginning to the end. So mark your calendars. July 29th is 100 days out from the anniversary of the founding of the Port of Tacoma 100 years ago. That is the day that the boat tours will take place, and there will be a celebration. So I want you to make sure that you're ready for that. I also want to let everybody know that 1918 was a pretty amazing year, not only for the founding of the Port of Tacoma, but there are other items in this community that occurred that year. The News Tribune was founded in 1918. Robley's Key Store was founded in 1918 and still exists. The Tacoma Little Theater and the Pantages. It was the year of the flu epidemic. And there's a lot of military stuff. The armistice, of course. So the port was established on November 5th, and on November 11th was the armistice at the end of World War I. So we are also working on a celebration collaborating with the Tacoma Historical Society. It is the year of destiny, 1918, the year of destiny, and I think we're going to have a great opportunity to celebrate with the entire community that way. So that's it. And we're also working on a legacy arts project.
Very good.
I just learned a couple of days ago, I think that the tribe is, at the same time we're starting, our celebration is starting their Longboat Journey Celebration.
Oh, great, great.
And
great.
I don't know if you were coordinating with anything they might be doing there.
We have not.
Yeah.
I have spoken with them in years past about it, whether if they needed areas in Tacoma. I think Tacoma's a host this year, isn't it?
It is. I think they're mm-hmm. expecting 150 plus boats.
Yeah, so hosting it this year is going to be a huge and wonderful. The tribe is always looking for volunteers, so there may be volunteers from the port who would like to participate with them.
Had a bullet time.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. The last comment I have would be, it's a little bit of a takeoff of what Commissioner McCarthy alluded to, and that is that one of the things that is really like a lot of misinformation on our community relative to the whole permitting process, and how is it that you can start a construction project without all the permits being in place? And is there somewhere that either on our website or PSC's website or someplace that we can refer people to? Because as the person who commented today, you know, the perception is, well, how could they even start construction without this particular permit? I'm very familiar with how the city of Tacoma does permitting, and they don't wait till the last design is done. They actually have a process that is, I think, is very enlightened. But is there somewhere in our whole, you know, outlet of information to show that what process they have to go through and the permits they're required to get, and that this isn't just a, you know, trying to push a project so fast that nobody has an opportunity to really understand the permitting process? So is there somewhere that we have an explanation of that?
We can put it up on the website.
We have a website.
I'm sorry. Okay, but does it explain that this is a, what the process is like and how PSE has been following a process that is consistent with City of Tacoma normal planning process? I mean, is there such an explanation? Because oftentimes I think people perceive that this is, that the construction and the fact that it hasn't received all the permits is not a normal practice when in fact it is.
That's a good point. And we did post on our site the Clean Air Agency's first response to when the question was put, do they have the proper clean air permit? So yeah. That's been posted. And at the time, the Clean Air Agency took the position that the construction had started, PSC had determined that the activity of which they were undergoing at that time did not trigger the clean air permit. The Clean Air Agency advised and updated the public that in response, PSE did submit its application, and at that time it was undergoing the review. So yesterday's information is brand new, but we certainly can address. The other thing I can say is that during the shoreline hearing appeal, the issue there was, were all of City of Tacoma's permitting processes valid? Were they thorough? The Shoreline Hearings Board answered that yes, they were. They were consistent with state law, and they were consistent with City of Tacoma CEPA review and shoreline review. When that issue was also put to the Pollution Control Hearings Board, where it was appealed, did Ecology follow the right processes when they issued the coastal zone management permit? And the board said, yes, Ecology did follow all those proper procedures.
And so this information you're sharing is available either through PSE's website or our website, so that the general public at least has a place to go to look at this sort of information?
Correct. And the port also has responded to quite a number of public records requests and have provided this information as well. But it would be good, now that you've raised this, to put both of those board opinions on our website so folks can review that. That's quite a long history.
Yeah, I can't tell you enough. It's important to keep that current information out there and mm-hmm. explain it, because this is not a new issue. I've heard this repeatedly in our community, mm-hmm. and we need to just constantly provide, speak to the issues that our community is raising. So thank you very much. Our meeting is adjourned. It is, 1:40. 1:40.